Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to this afternoon's Mesa City Council meeting study session for Monday, March 19th, 2012. I'd like to excuse Councilmember Glover, who is running late. He'll join us a little bit later. The first item on the agenda is to review tonight's regular council meeting agenda. So, page 2, items 3A through 3C. Items 3D through 5B.
I'm Councilmember Higgins.
I know.
Thank you, Mayor. I have two things, 5A and 5B. We had a little briefing today to discuss the IT's rolling plans on replacement, cycle life, all that type of stuff. So what we have agreed to do is that if Councilmember Finter or chair of our Audit and Finance Committee is agreeable to this, to actually look quarterly at that big long map and look out 12 months. So every quarter we'll be looking out 12 months just to see the items that are coming up for replacement, software, hardware, all type of stuff, so that it's always on the forefront of our mind of what we're replacing at what time.
Very agreeable. I think that's a great way to handle it there at that committee level. So
great.
Thanks.
So it's back on. Well, it's never off consent, so I'm fine with it. Thanks.
Okay. 5C through 5G.
Mayor, I think we're pulling item 5D.
D is in Delta?
Yeah, we'll move that to April 2nd.
Okay. Item 5D is eliminated from tonight's agenda. Item 6A through 6F. Seven A through seven D, and seven E through eight A. Okay, all right. Next item is to hear a presentation, discuss, and make final funding recommendations for the fiscal year 2012-13. Community Development Block Grants, or CDBG, and the Home Investment Partnerships, or HOME. Energy Solutions Grants and Human Services Programs. Ms. Albright.
Good evening, Mayor, Council Members. We were before you a few weeks ago with some funding recommendations, and today we're back, hopefully tonight, to receive the approval to move forward to the 30-day public comment period. Hang on. We have a little issue. What happened? I don't know what happens. All right. I don't know what happened to it.
Are you doing this?
It's not. It won't go forward. Oh, well. Okay, we will.
Put it on the Elmo.
There we go.
You can go page down.
Okay. Okay. Okay, as you remember, we continue to see the funding come in at a decline rate. Currently, we are at the approval meeting, and we hope to open the 38-day public comment period at the end of this month. And then the second public comment, the public hearing will be in April, and then with an ultimate goal to get this to HUD by May 15th. On the March 8th meeting, staff heard consensus from council to maintain funding six code officers, but to have a general funding discussion during the budget process, to maintain funding an economic development position, but also have that same discussion during the budget process, to switch eight CDBG applications for two human services applications, accept the funding recommendations as outlined in your attachments, and There was one other thing that was noted on the PowerPoint, but it really wasn't discussed. But in the council subcommittee meeting, one of the things they wanted to see was at the end of the year when we close out the contracts, there's never a full 100% funding of the contracts. Well, sometimes there is, but a lot of times there's leftovers. And so we scoop those all up and they go in back into the unallocated pot. And one of the recommendations from the subcommittee was that those monies be reallocated to La Mesita as part of this application approval process. And it does have to be noted in this application approval process for us to be able to do that. I'm going to skip through all of these. These are the same PowerPoint slides that you saw last time. We haven't changed any of those funding recommendations. What we did here was still up for discussion was the home funding and the process for allocating those funds. Currently in front of you is a proposal to reduce Save the Family CHOTO funding down to the minimum of $141,462 to take the remaining amount of the home funding and do what's called kind of an open process. There was also a recommendation that those funds be expended in the new CDBG target area. And I believe you have that map in front of you as well. And then we also talked about a first come, first serve. What that really means is first come, first serve of an eligible financial reasonable project. I also have late last week, staff was able to have a conference call with our HUD representatives. We wanted to make sure that if there was a change in the distribution process at this point, would that be a problem? They explained to us that since we have not opened it up for the 30-day comment period, it does comply with our 5-year consolidated plan and our citizen participation plan. There wouldn't be a problem changing at this point should council choose to do that. They did have concerns, though, in making sure that whatever we do recommend funding on, we stay in line with meeting our targets of our 5-year consolidated plan. In that plan, MESA has outlined 58 rental rehabs and 61 home ownership assists. We did an analysis. We only have 1 year to look at. We're rounding up numbers for this current year. But we're pretty much on target with both of those activities equally. That being said, staff, if council chooses to go in that direction, staff would recommend that about $200,000 be awarded towards rental rehab and about the remainder towards homeownership. The reason we say that is because the recommendation before you is Save the Family CHOTO, and they provide rentals. So that about splits the funding in half, and it allows us to stay on target with those two activities.
Tammy, mm-hmm. with this open process, do you have to come back to council for any of those, or are you asking us to approve the overall program and allocation, which then gives you the authority to decide as long as it fits within those programs? Is that what I'm hearing?
It can be set up that way. However, on the second slide at the bottom, staff is recommending that there be some type of board approval. We will perform an analysis. We will make sure that it's financially sound. They have the long-term maintenance programs in place to run those. But we would ultimately either want to take it to a housing board or the subcommittee or council for the final approval.
Well, have you thought through as to which one that would be?
From a staff standpoint, we would recommend the housing board. The housing board is charged with ensuring that those consolidated plans goals are met, as well as the city's housing master plan.
Which is really what we generally do
right
now. We just approve the master plan. So what you're saying is that what would happen is that however often? Or
they would be able to come in throughout the year as long as money's available. Any any project that is ready to go. And when I say ready to go, we wouldn't want them to purchase anything or spend any money, because we have to do certain things before any money can be reallocated. So once they identified a location, they've done their due diligence, they've done some financials, some estimates, they know that it's a feasible project for them, then they would start working with us. And through that process, we'd make sure all the paperwork's there that is required by the federal government, and make a staff recommendation onto the housing board, who would ultimately make a decision of whether or not to fund that particular project.
Now, with all these steps that are in place, are we creating a process that is too drawn out that would work against their ability to make these projects go? Or is that something we'll just wait and see how it works out?
We would require all the same information from them once they found a location. What I think the disadvantage to the nonprofits here is that they don't have a pre-award. They don't know they have this pot of $400,000 that they can go and take the whole year and find the right places. It's just available for all of them. Whoever finds the project first would come in and start talking to us. And if it's a good project and approved by the board, then that one would be funded. So there's probably pros and cons in both. Mesa's never tried this process.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, Councilmember Higgins.
So in this move, and this is the one we were talking about last week, mm-hmm. where even though we accepted applications and made allocations, we want to change the way we do it to make it open. Okay. And I think I was really kind of clear about, I thought that was unfair because we had a deadline and people got to the deadline, and now we're saying, oh, it's not really the deadline. We're changing the process. So honestly, this I prefer to see next year. Okay. But the second question is, so this takes about $600,000 that typically the council would have approved, and now it's going to come out and will be approved by the housing board.
Yeah, it would outline a specific amount to the activities that our plan says are all ultimate goals. And then as those projects come in, we will do an analysis, and then the housing board would make the final decision of whether that particular one was.
So, well, this is actually a more definitive approval, because before we would approve a lump sum.
Right.
And on this one, we're doing a two-step. We're actually doing a sum that is not allocated to a specific agency, but then as specific projects comes in, the housing board, which basically is us again.
No, it's the housing board.
Yeah, there's a housing board. You're the housing.
Well, we're the housing authority, the citizens housing board.
Yes.
The advisory board,
yes.
Not the housing.
Governing board. Yeah, the housing board, not the housing governing board.
Yeah, see, that's what I want to make sure of.
Yeah.
Because when you say housing board, we have an advisory board. We also have a housing board of which we and Mr. Egan make up, that approves the housing plan for the year. So that's when you said housing board.
Housing advisory board, I apologize.
Okay, well, that's what I was wondering. Because when you said housing board, and then we talked about that we approved the plan, well, that's us and Mr. Egan and Bill Egan. So
it could come to that if that's what.
Well, that's what I'm sort of worried about, is there's a lot of these coulds.
Yeah.
And I would like to know what the procedure is going to be, so
just say what you want.
Mm-hmm. Gee, thank you.
I mean, that's really the essence here is if we wanted to come back to the council, it can come to the council. If we wanted to go to the housing advisory board, it can go there. Or it can go to a subcommittee if we wanted to.
I don't know that
staff level if we wanted to.
I don't know that I feel more or less comfortable as long as there is a formal place that it can go where it gets reviewed. And I don't know that this body would probably be the best to do each individual project. There are probably others that are more in tune with that kind of detail.
I would move that we would go to the housing advisory board.
And that's fine if staff and you feel more comfortable with that.
That's the other one.
Is that us or is that?
No, that's the Citizens Housing Advisory Board.
Yeah. I just don't feel like I need to micromanage $600,000.
No, I agree with
allocations. You know, and to me, it doesn't change anything for anybody who applied either, because, you know, the only thing that's different is it's a little bit more competitive, and we're able to do to write contracts as deals occur instead of saying, here's a lump of money, and then they spend however much their deal is for that lump of money, and then what they can't spend on a deal, it has to come back to us, and it goes back in a pot, and then we can decide how to allocate it. That's That's kind of how it works now, right? And so.
And I'm comfortable as long as there's a level of review, and I would agree with you. Okay, Vice Mayor.
Just out of curiosity, what is exactly would a eligible project be versus an ineligible project? Because I guess one of my fears is that we're giving up. But by changing this, what we're doing is we're taking the first project and not necessarily the best project. You know, when we have these projects come forward to us, we're able to look at one and say which one of these that applied fits our vision as opposed to, hey, this one's first, you get the money.
Yeah. Mayor, Vice Mayor, this is clear, though. What you approve today is not necessarily a project.
Right.
Correct.
I think that's the distinction is you're allocating dollars to an agency, but not knowing the specifics. The difference would be through the process that the agencies would actually come with much more detail, and we would know what the real the project is. Today, we don't know what the project is. We have an estimate of an allocation, but as the councilman was pointing out, is when that project finally is packaged and delivered, it could be different number, usually is, and that's part of our complication is that we obligate, I'm not sure if that's right, where we allocate X dollars at the beginning of the time, but then when the actual project is more
so with this process, we would be, somebody, not necessarily us, would be getting more detail on what the project involves. So then the question is, what are they measuring? I mean, the way this is kind of written is first come, first serve means as long as they meet some standard. So what's the standard?
Well, they would have to meet all of the requirements for the home grant as far as is it an eligible activity, and then in looking at their financials, most of the time these projects are underwritten with several different funding sources. Where do we fall in those? We may want to put more money into it so that we hold a higher position on that mortgage. So it's looking at some of the issues we've had over the last year and how to minimize our risk in our investment into that particular project. So, we would look at less. We would look to see, do they have their other funding already committed? You know, what do they have as far as long-term maintenance of that facility? Where have they put their entire portfolio together to show that it's feasible, it's going to be a good project, it's sustainable? So it's kind of an underwriting process.
Well, and it's a quasi first come, first serve right today anyway, because if you don't meet the deadline to get into this, then you're shut out for the entire year.
Yes.
So if you weren't in that first batch, whereas this one, it may be first come, first serve, but in many ways, it stretches it out through the year. So it's just a different kind of first come, first serve.
It also helps workload issues with the staff, too. Instead of having writing contracts up front,
gotcha.
It gives them the ability to write contracts throughout the year.
Right? Okay. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I guess in the council report, you have told us we had three options that to consider tonight. One is to accept the recommendations from the council committee to include this open process. Number two, accept the original recommendations from staff to the committee and defer the open process till next year or to change the funding recommendations. I guess where I'm at, I'm still kind of where I was a week and a half ago. I still would prefer option two. I'm not saying I don't like the open mixed process, but my concern is the late date and timing of the insertion of this into this year's process. I think that we should explore the open mixed application process. I think deferring it to the next fiscal year gives us some additional time to make sure that we're comfortable with it, that our Citizen Advisory Board is comfortable with it, that the applicant community is comfortable with it, and to make sure that our federal partners are as well. I think they will be, but that would be just my approach, is to accept the original recommendations. But I do think the open mixed application process is innovative, and can be quite a positive thing. Thank you.
Would you like me to go back to what those recommendations were from staff?
No, we have those.
Okay.
How does all this, we were talking about some of these, and I'm sorry because I've read these things a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and the numbers are going every which way. the projects that we, the specific projects that we discussed, like a New Leaf and those other projects, how do those fit into this whole
scheme? Can we go to slide 19?
19? Okay.
Oh, I think that's the right one.
That's human services.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. 20 is the...
Oh, not on mine, I guess.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Can you find the home slide? Yeah. Oh, that's my 19. Sorry. So, Mayor, what's the question? Is this your question? What would be... So the point, I think the difference is, tell me, correct me wrong, is this today, under the current process, the recommendation would be, and I didn't hear what Councilmember Kavanaugh said, the committee recommended, the staff recommended, but you can see the allocation. You see the descriptions are fairly broad.
Yes.
And so the difference would be, instead of having these broader categories that are here today, you would... The applicants would actually have to come in and first come would actually have a lot more detail than what you're seeing here. Now, so the choice is we can go with this what we've offered up through the process up to this point, or we can say, you know, we're going to put everybody back in and you just compete to meet the goals of the housing program, our housing program plan, which I think is very important, and you have to come with more detail and specific plans so we actually know there's a real project that's going to get done in a timely manner. We can probably better negotiate our position as far as how funds will get paid back, or as we can wait and go with the recommendations that are here in front of us today and then work out this maybe new process if council is interested for the following year. But we can go either way. We're at a point, this is the time to make that decision. We're not bound by the recommendations, so we can go either way at this point.
Councilmember Higgins?
For feedback?
Well, we need it tonight because we need to get that direction.
I do agree with Councilmember Kavanaugh, and I like option two, which is accept the original recommendations and look into the open process for next year. I think that is the fairest way because a lot of people out there took a lot of time, like I said, get their stuff in on time. And should not that they're penalized, but you know, it takes a lot of time to fill these applications out, as you know. So, and love to spend next year looking at it and changing the process for next year.
And I will state that if you look on slide 20 and you look at the staff recommendations, you'll see that same split towards housing and rental, because that is part of how we rated originally, was putting certain amounts towards each activity. So,
Councilman Richens?
I'm going to go ahead and move that we accept the recommendation number one, where we have a competitive process, because I really think it's an appropriate way to go. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't penalize anybody for taking a long time to fill out an application. The people that didn't get funded here also spent a lot of time filling out an application, didn't get any funding either. And so having a little competitiveness to this application, I think it's on the right side of the taxpayers. These are tax funds. Nobody has a right to them. I think we can do more projects with less money and quicker with this new process. And so I'm going to move that we go with this new process.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the new process. That would be on the council report recommendation number one. All right. Any other discussion? Once again, my question as it relates to anything related to the projects that were presented affected by this process or these funds. We had four projects where we had as far as the, and I have no idea what.
Oh, the three projects.
The three projects, the city funding, city financing might or might not be involved.
They would be able to apply for these funds.
Okay, I would not be comfortable if those three are not coming back to the council, because there was a divide on some of those.
Okay.
Wait. I'm not.
Well, you say. Well, I ask about the three projects where that's separate. I know, that's what I was asking. Are those eligible projects under this process? Because these are home projects, knowing the details.
Yes, they could be.
They would be eligible to.
I only know of one. I know the one next to Missile Plaza has not requested home funds. They've made that clear. You'll get that briefing.
I'm sorry, the one?
don't know what to call it. The
next municipal block.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't know what we're struggling with a label. The senior housing is not requested.
The bad one and the two good ones. Oh wait, I didn't just say that, did I? Go ahead.
Mayor's just upset because he's 4 years from age qualifying for that project, right. So he's just having a hard time.
I don't like that.
And is Escobedo asking for it? I don't know. I don't know if that.
Well, we don't. Yeah, I mean, we don't know.
Well, we know on the one. I don't know if we know. I think New Leaf would be a possibility. I don't know about Escobedo. That's the only one. And if they were, yeah, they're all coming back. Matter of fact, you're getting a presentation on two of the three.
Well, but when we were talking about, we said whether these would go to the Housing Advisory Board as far as these new projects coming in. All I would say is that if those are some that I would like them to at least come back to.
Well, Mayor, you will have the ultimate review on those anyway because you're approving their development agreement.
Okay.
So if it does include those, you'll actually be able to oversee
I'm fine then. Yeah. I'm fine
then.
All right.
Then they would come back to council, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Because of the they would involve development agreements. All these other projects, if it was for a house, don't involve development agreements. They're simply
funding. Yeah.
Okay. I'm comfortable then. All right. Okay, we have a motion on the floor, a second. A motion by Councilmember Richens, a second by Councilmember Finter to accept staff recommendation number one, which is the open process. I guess that's a good way to describe it. All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The vote is 4-2 in the affirmative with council members Kavanaugh and Higgins voting no. The motion carries.
Mayor, just for a point of clarification, are we taking it to the Housing Advisory Board for approvals?
Yes.
Other than those three?
Okay. I think that was the understanding.
Yeah.
Okay.
The advisory board.
Okay. Thank you.
With the understanding that any of those other projects will have a development agreement, so they'll come back here.
And Tammy, you're sorry.
And we don't need any further direction. We've had the direction on the remaining portions of the CDBG, everybody's comfortable moving forward with those other recommendations?
That we outlined as consensus?
We haven't changed. I just want to make sure we're moving forward. Okay. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I somehow lost my agenda here. Okay. Here, presentation, discuss the police department 5-year aviation plan.
Mayor, council members, I'm Commander Bill Peters, the Mesa Police Department. I'm in charge of our metro area, our metro division. The aviation section is one of my areas of responsibility. Chief Mesa to my left, Chief Kirkham to my right, and Lieutenant Abelos also to my left, who's also in charge of our aviation section. Today we're going to discuss a configuration in our strategic 5-year fiscal plan for our aviation section. The aviation section's mission is very broad because it involves a lot more than just police. It includes providing protection and services to our community, the police and fire personnel as well through safety and professional operations, to improve our safety and assistance to public safety units and citizens, provide rapid response to calls for service, criminal deterrence and apprehension, airborne search and rescue capabilities, as well as any other diverse or wide range of services to other city departments. In this presentation, we'll discuss our current aircraft within the aviation unit, our personnel structure, budgetary impacts of this economic situation we've been in the last few years, our current flight schedule, a project that we are still working on, utilizing our P210 fixed wing aircraft as a patrol based platform, and also our 5-year fiscal plan. Currently, our aviation section consists of a Cessna 172. It's the original aircraft that we began our air unit with. There is the Cessna P210, which is a single engine pressurized, much higher elevation aircraft that also has our surveillance system in it. and three McDonnell Douglas 500F helicopters. Personnel assigned to the unit include one police sergeant, who is a non-pilot. There are eight rotorcraft and fixed-wing pilots, a combination of the both, who are also proficient as tactical flight officers. That enables us to do better scheduling and with our aircraft. We also utilize seven part-time tactical flight officers from patrol, if need be, to fill in when we have vacancies. We also have two mechanics. Some of the budgetary impacts that we found ourselves in when we looked some years ago to reduce our budget, we reduced the flight operations and air aviation unit by 612 hours, or about 38% of our overall flight time. And that was for fiscal year 10-11. We've reduced the number of staff. Currently, we have one pilot that's not position is being held, chief pilot position is being held, and we've eliminated an ASA position, or an assistant administrative assistant, from the air unit. There are some flight training and certifications of things that we rarely use that we eliminate in order to provide our main emphasis towards our patrol operations, and we explored the use of our fixed-wing Cessna P210 for patrol operations. Currently, our fixed-wing helicopters fly about 43 hours per week, and our fixed-wing is currently flying Tuesday through Thursday, scheduled 4 hours a day for 12 hours, or around 55 hours per week for our airborne resources.
Bill, Councilman Higgins has a question.
Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Higgins.
Is there a specific time that these guys go in, or you don't want to tell them when they're flying, or is it in the air for a reason?
Only when the crimes occur.
Or is it just random?
No.
And you don't have to.
I don't want to get into the, if it's okay, I could talk offline about the specifics of the timing. But we want to best utilize our platform for when we're having the most criminal activity.
And is that airplane the one with the cameras?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Thanks.
So this is back to the airplane with those cameras, the fixed-wing P210. There are pros and cons to it. It is a different platform for patrol operations than a helicopter, and we're going to discuss those. We've been utilizing P210 for almost a year now in a patrol type of capacity. It is a high, some of the pros to it is a high altitude aircraft flying at 9,500 feet. It is covert, meaning the people on the ground do not know that they're being observed or if a crime is occurring, and there are cons to that as well, but it is ideally based for surveillance. If airborne, the response time is phenomenal. It is almost immediate. It's as fast as the tactical flight observer can punch in an address into the computer. The mapping system is superior for allowing the tactical flight officer to be able to identify the streets and the locations. There is a lower maintenance cost. We've been tracking it.
Councilmember Kevin has a question.
Just a question with the fixed-wing aircraft. Do you have any challenges or issues with air traffic control from Sky Harbor or from Gateway?
We do.
Stay low.
We do, and when we get to the cons, I can discuss that in a little more detail. There are lower maintenance costs involved with the fixed-wing, and we've been tracking it since its inception. It runs about a little over $142 an hour to operate, as opposed to the rotorcraft, which is about $235 an hour. More pros, there's a greater comfort for the pilot and the tactical flight officer, so they could stay airborne for a longer period of time. They have more endurance as far as the fuel capacity, and has a better camera system for both day and night usage. Some of the cons are it does not have a patrol computer on board because of its altitude. That requires the tactical flight officer or the pilot to communicate directly via radio back down to the ground. The large search areas are more difficult because the tactical flight officer is limited to a screen, and they can't see out as with a helicopter. Because it operates undetected, its presence does not deter criminal activity, and this is important for our officers on the ground. When they're confronting an agitated person or dangerous criminal with a helicopter, the criminal knows immediately that there's backup and support in the air, whereas with the fixed wing, they do not know that. There's no spotlight support for the patrol officers. They do not have, the fixed wing does not have theft or tracking systems in order to aid in robbery and stolen vehicle calls. And again, that's because of the altitude at which it flies. And it cannot provide public safety address announcements in regarding to missing persons or warning citizens of dangerous suspects or tactical incidences. The other cons are that you don't see in here. I think, Mr. Kavanaugh, you alluded to, there is a lot of, I've flown in it. There is a lot of communication with the pilot trying to negotiate between Falcon, Sky Harbor, Gateway, the Chandler airports as they maneuver around because they do fly at a very wide pattern.
But if they're, is that getting there? Is they're at 9,500, they're basically in above Bravo. Is it just getting up there and down there? Is the problem is getting through the controlled airspace is what the problem would be then?
Yes, Mr. Mayor Smith, correct. Okay, the helicopter, again, it's a different platform. The response time from the ground is about 7 minutes to any place in the city. If it's in the air, it can get to any place in the city within 4 minutes. And as we track our calls on scene, we're averaging about 50 seconds, whether it's on the ground or in the air with the helicopter. It has a tighter orbit that allows us a 360-degree view of a scene within 10 seconds. We can't do that with the fixed wing because of the wide orbit.
Start throwing up after.
It does have a patrol computer on it for the mapping, for checking calls, comments, for sending messages back and forth and communicating by computer. It is unaffected by a cloud cover because it flies at a lower altitude. The fixed wing flies above cloud, can fly above cloud coverage, and therefore limit its operations. It has a searchlight, has our ProNet and our LoJack tracking equipment for theft and stolen vehicles. There's a PA system on board. The helicopter, we'll talk about it as a con, has a flight time of about 2 hours, and then it will need to come back in. If during that time it has to come in for fuel, it only takes 10 minutes to hot fuel and get back onto a scene, whereas with the helicopter, with the fixed wing, if we're caught in that situation and we have to taxi and land a taxi, it takes us over an hour to fuel the helicopter, taxi back out, and take off again, the fixed wing. And there are other potential uses for the helicopter. Some of these we've reduced, but some we're still doing, including rescues, aerial photos of crime scenes, SWAT insertions, the Bambi bucket for water dumps to help put out fire, incident command and fire command. Some of the cons with the helicopter: surveillance is clearly more difficult because it flies at 500 feet and you can be seen. Flight time is just over 2 hours as compared to 4 in a fixed wing. The tactical flight officer has to be very skilled in multitasking because he's operating a lot of instruments on board. And there are higher maintenance costs, $235 an hour versus $142. Our fiscal plan for the next 5 years, our plan is to continue utilizing 3 helicopters. This allows us to best spread out our maintenance and our fiscal cost that are associated with any time we get to maximum life of aircraft. There are major part and frame overhauls that are based on flight hours, and this slide kind of shows you where we're at with some of our airborne resources and the flight hours. The MD-500F helicopter is best replaced between 10 and 15,000 hours. If we go above that, then we start having more major overhauls and more major maintenance cost. And you can see our oldest helicopter is a 504, and it has over 19,000 hours on it already. So our 5-year plan, this will include routine, non-routine, and equipment purchases for the aviation unit. It does include a 2% inflation rate per year for labor costs and equipment, and a 3% inflation rate for fuel cost. You can see we have engine overhauls at just over $1 million, about $500,000 in non-routine maintenance equipment replacement. The equipment replacement includes a replacement helicopter for 504, our most aged helicopter. There's some new equipment that is included, as well as our fuel, which is clearly a cost, and also part of our strategic plan has become accredited through the Airborne Law Enforcement Association. With that, Mayor, council members, I'll open it for questions.
Just got one question. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of commitment. It's unique to Mesa. Is it worth it?
Mr. Mayor, I will tell you this. I worked here when we did not have airborne assets or any helicopters. And I can tell you, for the person on the ground, there is nothing that gives them a more sense of security than knowing that aircraft is overhead to protect them and to absolve our city of liability when it comes to issues of failure to yield and emergency situations. It is a highly valuable resource.
Okay. Any other questions? Councilman Richens.
When we have our own fuel truck and our own hired maintenance, are those Mesa officers or Mesa employees that are maintenance? I mean, why aren't we farming that out?
We have looked at contracting out Councilmember Richens on some of our maintenance, but we are two mechanics. One is a current vacant position, and our other is still our city employees. And actually, they do a phenomenal job of maintaining our costs and keeping our costs low and understanding when to move certain the mechanical things from one aircraft to another to maximize our efficiency out there.
I'm sure any mechanic could do that.
I think if we contract out, they probably have no interest in what the hours are on whatever other aircraft and so whether you want to switch it.
I mean, I saw that we have our own fuel truck and we have a lot of our
own. So what you're saying is that when you have three helicopters, a lot of times you're cannibalizing one to put in another, you're trading parts back, you're trying to get one at least. And what you're saying is when you have someone there, they know the different units, they can plan for things, they can work. If you contracted it out, they physically could do that, but they wouldn't know how to work the three. Is that what I'm hearing you saying?
Mr. Mayor, that's correct, because they would just fix whatever it is with that aircraft at that time, without consequence to the other two that are in the chute.
Right. So you're saying that having someone gives you flexibility and that you can keep them busy so that the rate is down to a
correct
economical amount.
I'd like to see some downward pressure on the cost to run this program. I mean, I know it's important and it's valuable for saving lives, but it's obscenely expensive. And I just worry a little bit about a two fixed wing aircraft, because the 172 and the pressurized plane, you can't switch those parts back and forth. And I mean, I just have a little bit of concern there. So I just want to put onus on you to really watch these costs here, find every way you can save the taxpayers' money, because this is an expensive program, albeit beneficial. Just we need to be really careful about costs.
Councilman Kevin?
Well, I guess I would disagree with Councilman Richens. What's obscenely expensive are lawsuits brought against cities for high-speed pursuits, and those the liability is just intense. And you have the risk of loss of life for your own employees in addition to the public. I think the aviation unit that we've had has really returned our investment in saved lives and solved crimes and reduced liability to the community. So I think you have to look at that side of the equation as well. I mean, I've been really closely associated with the unit throughout the years, and I know that they work very hard in making sure all the assets are used to the best of their ability to keep the helicopters going. So I guess if I look at it over the course of 5 years, it's money well invested with a very positive rate of return.
Councilman Finter?
I'm a strong supporter of the aviation unit for all the reasons that have been stated, and I appreciate Councilman Richards' approach and of being smart with our money. My hope is on interagency. I hope we're not too generous with this wonderful Mesa asset. The citizens of Mesa put up a lot of money to have that asset here and available. And I know other agencies have called, and we try to be the good neighbor sometimes. But for two reasons, I think we shouldn't take it out of the city too much. But I know there have been times, and I've heard about those, and I think they were appropriate. But I think if there ought to be some sort of cost recovery program if other agencies decide they need that, they ought to be paying for it. So, thoughts?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
You're good. I'm good.
I think there'll be probably some more. Thank you for the overview. I'm sure we'll have some more detailed questions as we digest this and come up. But thank you so very much for the overview. Appreciate that. Okay, Mr. Brady.
Oh.
Mayor and Council, just as far as upcoming meetings, we have our council meeting for study session this coming Thursday. So we'll see you at 7:30 on Thursday.
Thank you. And I don't know why there's items for citizens present. I'm assuming nobody's here to speak. Okay. Have a motion from the Vice Mayor to adjourn. Second, Councilmember Higgins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned, and we'll see you upstairs.